welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Really is a great privilege to have you all this evening. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass the offering bags around. If you have something in your heart that you want to give this evening, feel free to do so. If you're visiting, you're welcome just to be our guest. Please don't feel compelled to give. There's no pressure or anything like that. It's great having you with us, though. Really trust that you are enjoying and you're going to continue to enjoy the service with us. And obviously, for those of you who members with us, who are here regularly, you've probably picked up by now that as a church, we're quite serious about the things of God. We're serious about the purposes of God. We're serious about the direction and the call that He places on every one of our lives. That God isn't just involved in our lives just for us to have a good time, but He's got a kingdom that needs to be built and to establish. There's souls that need to be saved. There are cities that need to be transformed and changed. There are relationships that need to be healed. There are broken people all around us that need an encounter with the living God. And all of that stuff's obviously very true and very much on the heart of God. Very vision-focused, very purpose-driven, and I believe we should be. But also I understand that it's important for us from time to time to take a step back from all of that. Just remind ourselves as to who this God is that we're serving. To remind ourselves of His nature, His character. For this evening specifically, to remind ourselves of the heart that He has towards us. One of the great things that I love about serving the God we love is He's a God who is into you and He's into me. He's a benevolent God. Scripture says that He's a God who dances and rejoices over us with singing, with dancing. Imagine that God doing little twirls over you when He thinks of you. Yes, He's a holy God. Yes, He's a righteous God. He's a just God. But He's also a loving God. Whenever He looks at you, when He thinks of you, He's filled with love. He's filled with joy. It's the experience that just flows all over Him. Saying in the first service that one of the favorite things for me as a dad to do, those of you who are parents, you'll be able to relate to this. One of my favorite things to do is to make my kids laugh. One of the favorite things, you know, pick them up and you do something silly and you pull a funny face, kind of the weird things that you do when you become a parent. And there's just an immense amount of joy that comes over me when I see my little kids giggle. When I've done something that gives them pleasure. I wonder if we think of God as a father being involved in your life and my life. I think much of the same holds true. I think much of the greatest joy in God comes from us enjoying Him, having fulfillment in Him, from us having that little giggle on our face because God has just spoiled us. Psalm 37 verse 4, verse most of us probably know well and probably would be able to quote, "Delight yourself also in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart." See, as we pursue purpose, as we pursue the stuff that God's placed in our hearts and in our dreams for Him to see His kingdom come, one of the things that perhaps we don't pay enough attention to at times are those little desires that are in our hearts. We hear the message of, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Oh God, I've got these desires, but I must lay them down. Lord, there's these things deep within my heart. And we learn to push them aside at times and sometimes even to ignore them and forget about them. I think this evening God would have us just look down in our hearts again and dig up some of those desires. As we dig up some of those desires, by all means, some of those desires, God's going to look and say, no, that's not from my hand at all. God's going to wash some of those desires away. But a whole bunch of those desires, God's going to look at and He's going to smile. God's going to look at and He's going to think, Psalm 37 verse 4 of you, He's going to say, I want to give you the desire of your heart. Some of you ladies, your biggest desire in the world is to get married, and that's great. Yes. All the single ladies, clap your hands if that's you. I remember, I said it in the first service, Henning was here, so I'm not skinnering, but at Henning's wedding, is Robbie here? She was here this morning. She was in Joburg with us this morning. Then if she's here tonight. At their wedding, just a couple of months ago, she was 22 when she got married. So let me just put this in context. 22, she gets married. And I remember still kind of sitting with my jaw open at her speech. Not so much kind of the depth of she spoke. What was really beautiful and everything is all bride speeches are. But what astounded me was she shared about the nights that she spent weeping to God with her mom, praying together about where is she going to find a husband. She got married at 22, people. Nights spent weeping about where am I going to find this guy? And I understand, you know, I said to the guys on the men's camp, I've got three brothers and my dad, and so the five of us, kind of we did guys' things when we were kids. You know, pack a Land Cruiser, go up in Africa for 2 weeks, come back, it was a cool holiday. You know, stuff like that. Just guy stuff. Go hunting, go climbing, go hiking with as little as possible and see how far you can get. All of the tough stuff I did. Now it's me and three ladies in the house. So now I'm getting a new appreciation for things like Barbie and, you know, other Barbie and the Nutcracker and Barbie and all of these other funny things that you ladies all actually know about, but you won't admit. But the one thing I said on that, I was saying to the guys in the men's camp, one of the things that just amazes me, I never knew this. I did not know this about Barbie. I didn't. Every single Barbie, the same thing happens. Barbie is the princess, whether she knows it or not. If she didn't know it, then towards the end of the movie, she finds out, oh, you were really the island, although it's the princess there. She's got some fancy titles in every movie, different names. She was this princess. And that's great news because that means she can marry the prince. And every Barbie movie ends with a wedding. You know what my three-year-old's greatest desire in life is? She wants to get married. So she comes to me with the little, you girls will know, the guys couldn't figure out what the stuff's called. What's that really slippery material that girls make veils out of? Come ladies, you know the stuff. Don't act like you don't know. Chiffon, there we go, thank you. So she's got this purple chiffon thing that she found somewhere. And now she brings it to me and I must put it over her face and try and get it to stick. But the stuff doesn't stick to anything on the face. It's like Teflon, you can cook on it. And she's trying to get it stuck all over and it can't get stuck anywhere. But she wants to put this on, and I'm the only guy in the house, so she has to marry me, you know. Papa, ek wil weer met jou trou. Papa, by die huis. Papa, ek wil trou, you know. It's a desire in some of your hearts, and that's real. And God's not ambivalent to that. God is not ignoring that. Some of you just have a desire for your family to be restored. Some of you have a desire just to be able to get to the end of the month and not worry where your next meal is going to come from. Some of you have a desire just to finish your degree and get a job. Some of you desire to start a family. We all have different desires at different levels. This evening, I sense God wants to say to us that He knows those desires. He knew of them way before you even knew of them. He doesn't want you to run away from them. He doesn't necessarily want you to focus on them, but He doesn't want you to run away from them. Bring them to Him. Pray over them. Hold on to this passage that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And trust me, He will. I want us to look at a story of someone who wasn't a God follower, probably wasn't even a God seeker, probably wasn't even aware that there was a God. A man by the name of Abram. Abram in Genesis is sitting in his tent like a good person that age or that at that stage would do. He's just sitting in his tent. Probably if he's worshipping anything, he's probably worshipping the sun and the stars because that's all that they know about. He's not looking for God. Nowhere in Scripture do we read that he's seeking, crying out for God to find a God. And here this God comes, God of the whole universe, and knocks on his tent door, if he can even do that, or pulls his tent peg or whatever you kind of you do to get the guy on the inside's attention. Now the reality is that for those of us who are God followers here tonight, the same thing happened. We didn't go looking for God. God didn't come to us because we were so righteous and had it all so together and He picked us and He said, you're the guy. God came knocking on our door, pulling on our tent peg, saying, hey guys, here I am. I want to get in. Yes, we had to respond and we had to let Him in. But that's what happens here in Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native. Abram's got no reference for this God, but God speaks to him and says, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Isn't that just the most crazy promise? Let's just rephrase that a little bit. What is God saying? God's going up to him. He says, Abram, do you know what you are and what you're going to be? You are my gift to this planet. Abram, we'll get to Abraham later. Abram, this whole world, every person, every family on this earth is going to be better off because of you. And more specifically, because of your relationship with me. That's a pretty crazy promise to make. Can you imagine if God came to you today and God said to you, whatever your name is, fill in the blank, you are my gift to this earth. The whole world is a better place because of you. It's going to be a better place because of you. Stand up tomorrow in class. You say, hey everyone, I've got some news. God spoke to me last night. This whole class is better off because I'm in this class. Ask the dreamer boy about that. You guys remember about Joseph and his dream coat? What was his message? God's going to use me to bless this family. All of you are going to bow down before me. Was he right? Yes. Was his communication style right? Probably not. Although, if his communication style was more seeker sensitive, more gentle, more, hey guys, I know you're really not going to like this, but I'm going to go through some stuff and God's going to use me and raise me up and don't worry about it because the whole family is going to, we're going to get food and we're going to be okay because of where God's leading me. If he'd said that, he probably would never would have ended up in the pit and probably never would have been in Egypt. God used him despite his brashness, maybe because of his brashness and his arrogance, took him through a whole long trip of just growing in humility. He gets on the other side and God uses him powerfully. Was he God's gift to his family? Yes, he was. Was he God's gift to the whole globe? Yes, he was. The whole of the earth at that stage would have had an incredible famine if he hadn't been able to interpret God's word to Pharaoh. God's favor hadn't been upon him and he'd been able to have the 7 years of bounty, take it 7 years of plentiful, put it in storehouses, and in the 7 years of drought, he could feed the world. Was he God's blessing? Yes, he was. Timmy, just leave that and just maybe close the door. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. That's a great promise. In Genesis 15, what's just happened here is his cousin by the name of Lot, he's just run into some problem with some Somalian pirates. And the pirates have sort of abducted him for ransom and they've taken him away. And Abram said, no, none of this. And Abram got his Navy SEAL guys together. And they went and saved Lot, set Lot free. Took all of the bounty and everything and kind of a whole process that happens then. Abram's just gone through this probably traumatic experience. You can imagine Abram sitting in his tent at night worrying, what about me and my family? What about us? Sometime after that, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. He said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. I love Abram's reply here, but Abram replied, Sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. The Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and he said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord. The Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. What was Abram's desire? It's the son. God's blessing Abram. Abram's the richest guy around. He's got everything you could possibly want. He owns the Dubai Palm Islands. He owns the biggest flat screen you can get. He owns the prime suite at whichever game the Stormers are losing. He's watching that. Sorry, Stormers. What's going on, Swansmoot? Go Lions. Storm Slayers. Abram's got it happening. And Abram in his old age, he's well into his 70s here, probably 80s already. He's sitting down, he's looking around, he says, God, all of this stuff, it's really cool, but it's missing the whole point of the one desire I have in my heart. God, the one desire that you said you'd give me. The one thing, God, that I really want, that one thing that I'm yearning for, God, I just want a boy, I just want a legacy. I just want someone who I can leave this to, who can carry on with all of this stuff that I've got. God, I just want to give it to someone. God, I don't have someone, so I'm just giving it to one of the slaves in my house, and he's going to have to run with it, God. I love God's answer. I want you, just for a moment, just that desire that you have, we all have got it. Just picture that thing in front of you, whatever it is. I want you to close your eyes, just for a moment, just picture that thing. And imagine for a moment we're sitting out far from the city, way up in a bush somewhere. No clouds around. And you look up. You see all of that multitude of the stars. Stars after more than you can imagine. You're kind of trying to just look at one corner and just trying to count the stars in sort of the one little spot, and you can't even count all of that. What God's saying to us tonight, that's just a glimpse of the way in which He wants to meet your desire. You can open your eyes again. That's exactly what God did to Abram. He comes up to Abram. He says, Abram, come. You've got a cute tent here, but let's go outside. Look up. Look up, Abram. You see all of those stars? Count them. I wonder how long he gave Abram before Abram realized this is futile. Okay, count them. You know how many stars there are? That's how many kids you're going to have. That's how many descendants. You're going to have some descendants, Abram. I'm committed to your desires. So when Abram was 99 years old, and please don't believe what any kind of mystic theologian is trying to tell you. He's not a 99-year-old guy, looks like a 30-year-old guy today. He's a 99-year-old guy who looks like a 99-year-old guy. And he's got a wife who's a 90-year-old who looks like a wife who's a 90-year-old. It's impossible. The dream's gone. He's given up on it. There's no way this is going to happen. And I love how God comes to him here in Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, and I love how God starts. I am El Shaddai. What does that mean? God Almighty. I can imagine sort of God's preempting all of the arguments in Abram's mind. Every reason why this shouldn't be. God's got them all figured out. Abram knows exactly when God comes again, I'm going to ask you about this. Promises, the dreams, because I've given up on all of that. And God just comes and he stops and he says, Abram, I'm El Shaddai. Immediately he says, God Almighty. Abram, remember those stars you saw? You know, one of the things that to me about God is just so incredibly, I don't even know what the word is, heartening, fascinating, amazing, all at the same time is, you know, the one thing that scientists can agree on, that every scientist on this planet will probably agree on, the one thing, probably the only thing that scientists know, is that we don't know how big the universe is. The one thing they're all going to be 100% sure about is we don't know how big this place is. The only thing we know is it's bigger than we thought it could be, and we're figuring out it's bigger every day with each passing day. It just, as our telescopes get bigger, we're discovering this thing is bigger than we ever thought it was. It's just, God stretched that out like a curtain. that whole everything that we don't even know how big it is, except that we know that it's huge and it's bigger than we can ever imagine it to be big. God stretches it out like a curtain. That same God who stretches it out like a curtain knows every time a hair falls off your own head. That same God up in heaven who placed all of those gazillions of stars out there. And you know what Scripture says? He's got a name for all of them. You know, we have got names for them as well. 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 3, like numbers or whatever. He's got a name for every single star. He's got a unique name. And God remembers them. I've got two daughters. I struggle remembering their names. You know? Don't laugh. You're going to have kids. Same thing's going to happen, I promise. You're going to call them by the wrong name. As I said, come from a family of four boys. My dad had it easy. He just went through the whole list every time. He knew one of us would have to be. Philip, Vessel, Yanni, Andre, you know, one of you. The guy standing over there, you're one of those four, I know. So just use all four at the same time. God's got a name for every one of those stars. But you know, he knows how many freckles you have on your skin. As committed as he is to upholding this whole universe, as involved with every desire in your heart, every dream, every hope, he knows about it way more than you. God comes to Abram and he says, Abram, I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life and I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. This time Abram fell face down on the ground and God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It'll no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, father of many, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you, from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God, and the God of your descendants after you. That's a beautiful covenant. And I love how God describes it. This is the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant. Not an everlasting, the everlasting covenant. Not a covenant that ends after 100 years or 100 generations. Not a covenant that ends when Jesus gets born. Not a covenant that ends when Jesus gets crucified. An everlasting covenant. The descendants of Abraham, God will always be their God. In Galatians 3, Paul picks up on the same. And I love what he says here. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. I love that. You ever sung Father Abraham and many sons? My daughter sings it now. I don't know what word she uses, but it sounds funny. Comes back from church and she's singing that all the time. I am one of them, and so are you. You know that's biblical and that's true. That as we sit here, for those of us who are believers, for those of us who have identified with Christ, who have experienced him knocking on our tent door and we've invited him in and he's become part of our life. We've surrendered our life to him, washed away the sin. We've gone through that. Scripture says that you are his, Abraham's, heirs. And God's promise to Abraham is God's promise to you. What is his promise? That he will be your God. That's pretty special. Remember the other promise? That in him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I was being a little bit facetious just now when I said, go stand up in your class and say, hey, I'm God's gift to this class. Please don't do that, but live that way. Live as if you're God's promise, or God's gift to that class, because you're meant to be God's gift to that class. You're meant to understand that God's called you as a son of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham, That same promise which God extended to Abraham and to the everlasting covenant that is his forever, you and I get to be partakers of that. There are a whole bunch of beautiful promises in there. In the middle of all of those promises is God coming and meeting Abraham's desire. Most of us know the story. Abraham had a son. His son's name was Isaac. One stage, Abraham thought, God needs a little bit of help. I know God gave me the promise, but God needs help. God's not quite El Shaddai. He's almost El Shaddai, almost Shaddai, you know. He's El, almost. He's God, almost Almighty. So God can give me a son, but not with this woman, so I must take another woman. Sleep with another woman, impregnate her. She'll bring forth a son. And she does, and God looks at her and says, no, Abraham, doofus. Your son with your wife, not with another woman. Don't be stupid. Abraham, I'm a God of covenant. What just happened here? That's not covenant. I'm going to give you a son. He gives him a son by the name of Isaac. God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. God was always a God of multi-dimension, of multi-generations. God never thought of Abram as Abram, and God never looked at Abram as a 99 or 100-year-old man, and he never looked at his wife as a 90-year-old woman. He looked at them as inheritors of a covenant. He looked at them as individuals with a desire in their heart, and God said, I want to meet that desire. That desire in your heart, Abram, I want to give it to you. Today, for every one of us, as we're sitting here, we've got a bunch of desires. I believe God's wanting you to learn to look up. Some of us, we need to walk out and we need to go for a stroll in the city. It doesn't really help much, but you know the thoughts there. And look up and say, God, show me the stars. God, allow my spirit to see the abundance of the promise that you want to pour out over my life, God. Because for whatever reason is happening, I'm looking at the fact that I'm 70 or 80 years old. I'm looking at all the reasons in the natural as to why you can't, God. Except El Shaddai. If anyone can, God, you can. And the crazy thing about God is not so much that he can, it's that he actually wants to. He actually wants to give you the desires in your heart. He wants to open the windows of heaven over you. He wants to pour out that blessing into your life. Yes, for some of us, it is going to be when we're 90. For some of us, it's going to be when tonight. That's in God's hands. One of the things that I love Scripture says about Abraham is Abraham received it. He believed it before he saw it. Eventually, Abraham got on the page where he said, okay, God, I'm going to have a son. Some stage, God, you're going to do this. I've got no idea how, God, but you're going to do this and you're going to give me a son. I'm going to live like I'm going to have a son. I'm going to prepare like I'm going to have a son to leave it all to. God comes through and God blesses. God gives him the desires of his heart. God's wanting us to learn to look up a little bit. Scripture's full of promises, hundreds of them. I want to encourage you, go and read some of those promises. Isaiah 54 has got some of the most beautiful promises that you could ever imagine. God just saying in ways that he wants to bless the servant. It ends with, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And then you're going to get a whole bunch of people and say, no, that's not a promise for you. That's a promise for that season, that dispensation. Isaiah wasn't writing to you, whatever it may be. Which is all good and well, except for one small problem. It's found in 2 Corinthians, the next verse. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. You know, you can read any promise in Scripture. Do you know who the promise is for? For you. How do I know? Because Jesus said so. You guys are all too young. Some people in the first service remember this, but let's see, is anyone old like me here? You guys remember a yellow cockatiel and a TV advert, an NBS TV advert that went, yes, yes, NBS. You guys remember that little thing? Do you know what he is? He's a beautiful picture of God's promises in Christ. Yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. whatever promise it is, whatever promise of wholeness and restoration. The last verse in the Old Testament, that He will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest He strike the earth with a curse. Some of you need to hold on to that promise and say, God, this is Your promise for my family. How do I know this is God? This is really what You want for my family? 2 Corinthians 1 tells you. In Christ, all of God's promises are yes, 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 yes. You can hold on to those promises. You can own those promises. I want to encourage us, don't make the promise your primary focus. Keep the purpose of God your focus. But keep the promise in your heart. Keep the promise in your heart. At night when you go to bed, pray about the promise. Don't ignore the promise. Dream about the promise. Hope about the promise. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't have faith in what you don't hope for. If you're not willing to hope for it first, you're not going to have any faith for it. Start praying about it. You know what dreams are in your heart. You know the desires in your heart. I believe the Holy Spirit's like a yellow cockatiel looking over them saying, yes, 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 yes. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Why? Because He wants to give you the desire of your heart. He wants to do like He did with Abraham, come knock on the door to somebody who's got no clue, no frame of reference for Him, and just blow him away with His goodness. Blow him away with His grace. Blow him away with His desire to meet His desires. Can we stand this evening? I want to pray for us this evening. I want to pray specifically for those of us who have desires in our heart that we've pushed to one side, forgotten about. In this race of running towards the purposes of God, some of us have trodden all over our desires and we feel a little bit violated. We feel used by God. You know, that was never God's purpose. Yes, that was never His dream. He's wanting you to pursue the purposes while at the same time holding on to the promises. At times, those promises are going to pull you away from where He's leading you. And those are the promises that, maybe promise is the wrong word. Maybe those desires are the desires that we need to learn to lay down. But the desires that matter, He wants to give us those desires. The carnal stuff, He's probably not too interested in. I want to be the richest man on the planet. Whatever, He's probably not too interested in that. God, I want to live a life of significance. That's what He said to Abram. I'll make you make a difference. You're not just going to be another statistic of a couple of billion people that have passed through this earth. You're going to leave some footsteps. Make them Jesus' footsteps. Those desires that God's placed in our hearts, I want to pray for us. Some of us, we've forgotten about them. And I want to pray specifically just for a capacity to look up. Just the ability to look up. Like God took Abram outside and He said, look up. Some of us just need to learn to look up and have our minds blown by the vastness of God's grace and His desire to bless us. Some of us need the ability just again to learn to look up. And as we look up, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. To look into His eyes and to see just the love that He extends towards us. To look up at the stars and to say, God, that's just the beginning of the way in which You want to bless me, God. God, all of those stars serve a purpose. They serve a purpose to remind us of the promise You gave Abraham. A rainbow serves a purpose. The rainbow's purpose is to remind us of the promise God gave Noah. The star's purpose, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's why they're there. For us to look up and to be at awe at a glimpse of our great God. Within the context of tonight, a glimpse of how great God's goodness is towards us. He wants to pour and His love and His grace over every one of our desires. Can we pray together? Father, I want to thank you for this evening, God. I want to thank you just again for your incredible, incredible goodness that you want to pour over our lives. That as we gather here in your name, that tonight, Lord, we can choose to look up. And if that's you, if you need to look up, if you've been looking in the ways of the natural, been looking away, just treading over those desires, and it's like God's just breathing life over those desires in your heart again. I want to pray specifically for you. Just raise your hand if that's you, just between you and God. Say, God, you know what's going on in this heart. Lord, I pray for every one of these desires, Lord, every one of these hearts with hands raised. Lord, you know exactly what that desire is, what it looks like, God. God, I pray for a grace. I pray for a capacity to look up, Lord. Even as Abram went outside and he looked up and he heard your promise as he saw the stars. I pray, God, for an ability for our eyes to look up, but more than that, for our spirits, Lord, to be able to look up, Jesus. And to see that, Lord, which you have in store for us. God, we want to look up into your face, Lord. We want to look up, Lord, into the heavens which declare the glory of God. Let us look up, Jesus. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps you here, and you can identify with where Abram was when God came and knocked on the door of his tent, pulled his tent peg. God said to Abram, Abram, you don't know me, maybe you have heard of me, but I'm God, and I want to come into your life. I want to make covenant with you. I want to pour blessing in. I want to wash away your sin and your shame. All of that stuff, I want to take care of that for you. And you need to invite me in. Tonight, if that's you, we'd so love to pray with you. We'd so love to stand with you as you open that tent door and you invite Jesus in. It would be an incredible privilege. I'm going to ask while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if that's you, if you'll just quickly slip up your hand and say, Philip, it's me. Pray with me tonight. I want to make right with Christ. He's knocking at my door and I want to let him in. Thank you for his hands. I can't see what's going on out there, so I'm just going to give another moment or two. If there's anyone else tonight, you're feeling it, even like you're feeling a knock on your heart. It's Christ knocking. He's never going to barge in. He's not going to jump in your tent. He's not going to storm through the door, the front door of your life. He's going to stand at the door and knock. He says, if anyone opens, I'll come in and I'll dine with him and he with me. God wants to be with you in relationship with you. I'm going to ask one more time tonight if you want to say yes to that, if you want to invite Christ in. You want to say yes to this incredible promise of Abraham as becoming part of your life. Washing your sin away, walking a road with Jesus, then just slip up your hand as high as you can, wherever you want. Say, that's me, Philip, pray with me. I can ask those of you who've raised your hands, don't you quickly want to come to the front? I'd love to pray with you. Just step out from wherever you are, just come right to the front and meet me in the front. I want to pray with you. So great. Anyone else, maybe didn't quite have the courage to raise your hand and step out, but in your heart you're feeling, man, I wish I was in front there right now. Does anyone else will wait for you? He's going to pray for you. God's going to look up. God's going to. One of the names of God is the lifter of our heads. And the reason is because he comes to shame away. He causes us to be able to stand with our head held high, not because we're so great, but because he washes us. He cleanses us and the guilt and the shame that we go through in life, and he takes it away. Can I lead us in a simple prayer, just asking Christ to come and cleanse and wash us? I'm going to ask the rest of you guys, just pray with us again as we just commit our lives to Christ. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are El Shaddai, God Almighty, knocking on my door. Tonight, I say yes. Come in. Make your home with me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Lead me. Make me a son of Abraham. That's your promise for me, Lord. Lord, you know the desires in my heart. I lay them down before you. I trust you with them. You know the sin I carry, God. Messed up so many times. But I thank you, Jesus, that when you died on the cross, you washed it all away. You cleansed me. And I can stand here today, clean, spotless, pure. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know you rose from the dead and you're alive today. And I get to know the living God. And every day, I want to know you more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Just before you guys go, can I ask you three things? Can I ask you to remember three things for me? First one is we've got small groups that meet throughout the week. Most of them on Wednesday evenings. There's one really close. Wherever you're staying, there's one close to you. Go to that this week already. Okay? Small group. Then we've got a seminar. It's called Life Encounter. This Saturday morning, 8:30, in this hall. Come to that. We're going to just speak to you a little bit about what does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we pray? What is prayer? Who is the Holy Spirit? I'm going to share with you just a little bit around that. Small groups, life encounter. And then you're ready for the tricky one? The hard one. Tomorrow morning, the first three people you see, tell them about the decision you made tonight. Can you do that? Small groups, life encounter, three people. If you turn around, there's a guy standing with you, just wants to spend a bit of time praying with you. Maybe you've got some more stuff that you want to talk through, questions that you want to ask, they're able to help you. If you just want 10 seconds, it'll be 10 seconds. If you need a bit more time, it'll take as much time as you need. So you can turn around and meet them quickly. And then they're going to take you to a special room we're prepared just for you. So awesome. So awesome to see lives turned around for Christ. For eternity. Let's keep praying and trusting God that everywhere we go, lives are going to turn to Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to keep ministering. If you've got a prayer request, whatever it may be, come forward. We're going to pray with you. If you've got sickness in your body, if you came in just heavy laden and burdened, we want to pray with you. You've got a big breakthrough waiting for you in the week, something that you're trusting God for, job, whatever it may be, an interview. We want to pray with you. And then specifically, if God's been speaking to you just about a desire in your heart, maybe you just feel violated and hurt about it. Maybe it's something that you just think is so precious to you, but it's so impossible. The good news is we serve a God who can do the impossible. But we want to pray with you about this. If you need prayer in any of those areas, as the band just keeps ministering, come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. If you're visiting, really trust that you've enjoyed the time with us. Hang around, have some coffee and tea. We'd love to chat to you a little bit and find out more about you. God bless you all. Have an incredible, incredible week. May His face shine upon you. Bring you peace in all you do. May you truly, every person you meet this week, may they be better off. May they be blessed because of you. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.